Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Today on CityCast Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania is number one in the country for mushroom making. We grow them by the millions. And while, yes, you will always find buttons and portobellos and even some earthier varieties in our grocery stores, you can also go outside here and forage for them yourself. Today, we're feeling adventurous. God love them, the CityCast production team has talked me into a virtual romp through the woods. We're going to learn how to safely and confidently identify a few coveted fungi known to grow right here in Pittsburgh. It's Thursday, April 18th. I'm Megan Harris, and here's what Pittsburgh's talking about. Esperanza Wilcox is the founder of the Pennsylvania Mushroom Company. Welcome to CityCast.
Hey, thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Do you prefer Esperanza or Espo? I know you have like a moniker in the field.
Yeah, Espo is what I'm known as. So yeah, in the field, everybody knows me as Espo.
Sweet. Well, this is our Thursday food show. You know, we've gotten in the habit of doing these in-house lately. We're so glad to have you with us, new blood. Usually we start Thursdays with a specific question. What is the best thing that you have eaten this week? But since you are here for mushrooms, I want to know what the best thing you've eaten that's like mushroom related.
Okay, I got two dishes for you. One is a wild chanterelle lo mein, which was amazing. So, you know, we did like traditional like Asian spices and seasonings, marinated the chanterelle mushrooms, and then we finished them with some noodles.
Did you cook this or did you get it out somewhere?
Yes. No. This was cooked by me.
This is your recipe. Okay. You may have to share that with us before this is over. You said you had two dishes. What's number two?
Yeah, and the second one was prepared by my buddy. He goes by Pinwood Chef, and it was a lion's mane General Tso's. So he basically used lion's mane mushroom in place of the chicken, and he made the sauce from scratch, and it was phenomenal.
Well, so mushroom foraging is something that a lot of our CityCast team here has been really excited about lately. I'm going to be honest, personally, I'm a hair intimidated by all of it.
Okay.
How did you get started as a mushroom forager? What was kind of your entry point?
So my entry point to foraging was when I lived in Telluride, Colorado. I was introduced to the chanterelle mushroom. I went out foraging with a great friend of mine, and we discovered the chanterelle mushroom. And we went home, prepared it, and it was delicious.
You did it all the same day. You found it, you cleaned it, you cooked it, you ate it.
All in the same day.
Well, and it sounds like your story in mushrooming has like really evolved. Now you're doing education here in the Pittsburgh area. If you're just getting started with foraging, how do you recommend you get going? Are there good places? Is there a good time? What's your top tips?
The first thing is the education. Before picking a wild mushroom, it's best to learn how to identify a wild mushroom. There are tons of resources. I started with books, just reading, studying, going through classic literature. And then another great resource is joining a mushroom club that's central to your region.
And there are a lot of them around here. I was surprised.
Yeah. So one in particular that I'm a part of is the Western Pennsylvania Mushroom Club. It has been an excellent resource, and it connects you with like-minded people, and it gets you out in the field so you can do the research in real time and study and learn. And, you know, there's all different skill sets. So some people are more interested in taxonomy, others more in photography. Some people are solely interested in edibility. So, you know, your personal interest can lead you as far as you want to go. You can pick an interest and you know, kind of catapult from there.
Is there a peak mushroom season here in Western Pennsylvania?
peak mushroom season. I would say spring through the summer months. That's when you're going to find most of the stuff you're looking for in terms of like edible species.
Is that because of just like heat and moisture?
Yeah. So heat and moisture are going to be two key attributes. I always say mushrooms are nature's hydrometer. So with no humidity, with no rainfall, you won't get many mushrooms, regardless of where you're at.
Are there any tools or supplies that you recommend?
Maybe a magnifying glass if you really want to get down and be able to check out spores and spore colors. Just a notebook, maybe a mushroom knife that basically is a knife with a handle. I just use like a basic knife or a pair of scissors if I'm going to be harvesting to eat. And a makeup brush. So I take a makeup brush and I cut the bristles all the way down and I make it really, really stiff. And they just have so many bristles on some of those brushes that yeah, they just work really well. So that has been one of my tools that I use. So that's in my forager's bag. So in my bag right now, I have like, you know, an insecticide. You got to be aware of ticks. So okay, be mindful of that. You know, I also have like parchment paper in case I find something that I want to keep separate from everything else I found. What else is in my foraging bag? A knife, you know, and a bottle of water. Those are my main things. And we always have a device on us, you know, our cell phones or something like that. So if you're not lugging around a camera, you've got your smartphone, your iPhone right in your pocket. That's another great tool out in the field as far as like taking photos and being able to document the different species you encounter for later research.
And what's that makeup brush for? What are you using those little bristles for?
To brush the dirt off the mushrooms.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So like if, you know, in chanterelle season, if you get a good rain, it can get a little muddy and, you know, a little dirty. And it's just best to clean as you harvest rather than collect everything and load it all up and then go back and clean. Just makes it a bit more difficult.
What about places to go? Are there, you know, spots in town that you're willing to share that you like to look around for specific types of mushrooms?
One of the places that I know a lot of my friends enjoy foraging is Frick Park. So that's a local location.
Do you have to do anything special? I imagine it's not like on all those manicured trails. Like I assume you have to like go into the tree line at least.
Right. Yeah. Tree identification is one of the main keys to finding mushrooms. So that is another great starting point for people is learning tree identification. And that'll tell you if you're in the right neighborhood for what you're looking for.
Are there only certain kinds of mushrooms that grow on certain kinds of trees?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So different mushrooms associate with different trees. And you have like saprophytic mushrooms that you find growing directly off trees. So those are going to be like your primary wood decomposers. And then you have like mycorrhizal fungi, which are going to be your chanterelles and your morels, which grow in association to trees. They don't grow directly on trees. Yeah, there's a lot of differentiation in the field as far as where to find what and what grows where. That's why it's so intriguing. Because there's just so much nuance and detail within each layer, right? For every question, it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. You see that?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the rabbit hole effect.
You've already used more scientific language on this show than I think maybe ever before. So.
We're just getting started.
Okay. Well, opposite question. Are there places that no one should go forage?
I would say like brown sites, any contaminated sites, even your yard. If you're spraying an herbicide or something in your yard, you should not harvest mushrooms from there because mushrooms are sponges, essentially. So you want to harvest them from the most pristine places possible if you're going to be consuming them, right? And edibility is a big thing. You know, not a lot of people like to touch on that because there are lookalikes and there are ways you can misidentify a mushroom. It's really coveted to find good identifiers that can help you in that pursuit if you are trying to figure out if something is edible or not. There are online forums and stuff like that, but I would advise like a real person in real time or get connected with, you know, a mushroom club where there are people that are educated on the subject that could assist you in that.
Well, are there any safety suggestions that you have maybe for a good foraging season? Maybe, you know, awareness of your surroundings, the mushrooms themselves, anything like that?
The one thing is to make sure you have a 100% positive ID before consuming a wild mushroom, and also cook all mushrooms. All right. So those are going to be my main tips for you. And make sure you have water. You know, when you're going out in the woods, you're going to be hiking just in case you get lost or something like that. And I also recommend using the buddy system for beginners. So take someone with you, whether they're interested in mushrooms or not. And what I was doing initially to learn the different forested areas I was in was I have someone stand on the trail at all times. So I was able to go as far as deep down, as far up a hill as I needed to go. And then I could just yell back. And I could find their voice.
Did you have like a signal, like a caw-caw, caw-caw, anything like that?
Yeah, more like a woo, like a Ric Flair type, you know.
Hey, Pittsburgh. I want to tell you about a real Steeltown hero. Mary Cardwell Dawson was just the coolest. Not only was she the proprietess of that gorgeous Victorian mansion on Apple Street in Homewood, but inside it, she presided over the National Negro Opera Company. She founded guilds for other Black singers all over the nation, and she was a mentor for fellow opera singers from here to Washington, D.C. And lucky for you, our modern Pittsburgh opera has a show celebrating her legacy. Get your tickets now for The Passion of Mary Cardwell Dawson. It's at the Byam Theater through May 5th. And don't be nervous if you're new to opera. The show is in English. It's just over an hour and features a little dialogue for folks to follow along. Tickets start at just $15, and there are all kinds of discounts and special offers for students, teachers, seniors, and veterans. Get your tickets now in our show notes for the Pittsburgh Opera. That's at pittsburghopera.org. Well, let's get into the specifics of a few of the mushrooms that you can find here in the Pittsburgh area.
Okay.
I know you and CityCast producer Sophia Lowe kind of aligned on a few in advance, which is great for me because I think I might have gotten lost on my own. First up is one you've been talking about, the chanterelle. What does it look like and where can you usually find them?
All right, so you got cantharellus, and I like to start by just explaining what a Latin binomial is because we'll be using those. So a Latin binomial is going to be that basically that two name piece you see, and mm-hmm. you have your genus and your species. So for chanterelles, you're going to have the genus, which is chanterelle or cantharellus, and then you'll have that species, which you'll have like Litoridius or Apalenchiensis. So Litoridius is quite common. It's yellow in color. It has a white fleshy interior, often has an aroma of apricot. It is a mycorrhizal fungi, so you find it growing in association to trees, not directly off trees. And they kind of have this like a convoluted looking cap.
I'm looking at photos that you sent us. It's like kind of rippled a little bit.
Right. And this is going to be your smooth chanterelle. So it has decurrent gills. And yeah, so you typically find this, or I find this on like logging roads. They like disturbed soil. So I've also found them growing directly on trails in more rocky, coarse soil. And the window of opportunity is going to be May through July, maybe even August, depending on where you are.
Okay. Is there a lookalike that anybody should be worried about or like maybe want to familiarize themselves with in advance?
Yeah. So Omphaloides aludens or the jack-o'-lantern, which is a bright orange mushroom. It typically grows in clusters, whereas chanterelles grow singular. So you find them, you know, one at a time. They're not like clumped together in big clusters.
Yeah. You've got a picture, I think, of both of them side by side here. They do look really different when they're right next to each other.
Right. And one of the main differences is the orange interior flesh of the jack-o'-lantern and also the guttation, the fluid it releases. This kind of like orange fluid. It's kind of got a wet texture to it, whereas
like a
the chanterelle. Yeah, whereas the chanterelle is a bit more waxy in touch and appearance.
So, and if you're curious what any of these look like, we'll have these photos up on our website. That's pittsburgh.citycast.fm if you want to take a closer look. Our next mushroom is chicken of the woods. So same thing. What does it look like? Where should we find them? And any lookalikes that you recommend checking out?
Right. So chicken of the woods, you have a couple species you'll be able to find. And they're going to be Ledaporus sulfurus and Ledaporus cincinnatus. And these are bracket fungi. They are shelf fungi and they are polypores. So the underside is going to have all these.
What does all that mean?
So, all right, let me break it down. So yeah. A bracket fungi means it grows like it's on a shelf. So okay. It grows in these horizontal layers. And typically they don't have a stem, you know, protruding from them. They grow directly off of their food source. In most cases, that's going to be like deciduous wood, you know, dead wood, decomposing wood, stuff like that. And you typically find them growing on dead and decaying trees.
Yeah. Yeah. They kind of look like almost something you'd see like in an ocean. Like they've kind of got that kind of look to them.
Right. And so your sulfurus is going to have a yellow underside, whereas your cincinnatus is going to have more of a white underbelly or a white underside. And yeah, so they grow bracketed, shelf-like, almost flat in appearance. And yeah, they're choice edibles, chicken of the woods. People really like them a lot. I find them quite often during the summer months as well. I believe they have a similar seasonality to the chanterelle mushroom.
And the last one we were going to go over is the morel. Am I saying that right?
Yes, it's the morel mushroom.
Is there a place that you have gotten lucky, maybe in the Pittsburgh region? Again, I know sometimes foraging spots are sacred. So if you're willing to give something up.
Again, Frick Park, another one on the map. So I was actually there for, I believe it was a cultivation meeting with the Western PA Mushroom Club. And someone just brought one in from outside.
Just like wandered outside, happened to spot one, brought it right back in?
Yeah. And what I would recommend to people is maybe like a... As far as Morchella, the morel mushroom, you have different species. You have Angosticeps, you have Diminutiva, you have Morchella americana, the blonde morel. Right now, a lot of people are finding Diminutiva, which is a bit of a smaller morel. And you find them quite often around elm trees, slippery elm, tulip, poplar, cherry, sycamore, and that is what I recommend people to look for, right? Not areas that are known for them, but trees that they're associated with. And then you can find them all over the place. They could be in your neighbor's yard. They could be, you know, right across the street if you know what to look for, right? So if I send you to an area, you won't know where to look, Yeah, giving people information as far as where they can find them is key. But then again, they also need to be able to identify the trees and know where to look and what time to look so they know when the most opportune time for them to find those mushrooms is.
The treasure map's only as good as the treasure hunter, I guess.
Exactly. and morel spots are highly coveted, so foragers never give up their prime locations.
I've heard that. I heard that you're also opening a brick and mortar store. Can you share any details about it? Like what to expect, when and where?
Yeah, so it's like an ever-evolving model because I didn't plan on having a retail space. You know, I was just thinking, hey, I grow some mushrooms. I also cultivate. So aside from
going out and finding
aspect.
Yeah.
Right. I do cultivate, and we're opening a PA Mushroom Company store off Route 66 in Lucinda, Pennsylvania, and it will be all things mushrooms. So it'll be a closed loop system. So basically from farm to fork, as far as growing the mushrooms, we'll produce a bunch of different added value products, mushroom tinctures, dual extract powders, mushroom jerky. We have grow kits. We're about to release our new line in these beautiful boxes that we had designed. What else are we doing? We're looking into doing some like dehydrated, freeze-dried meals. We really like the camp food space. So we're just looking at ways we can be innovative in the mushroom production space and create new, cool food products that people want to enjoy. Whether you love mushrooms or you can't stand the taste, I think I have something that can cater to everyone.
So if folks want to find you, Lucinda, Pennsylvania, I think that's like, what, an hour and a half northeast of the city? In Clarion County?
Right. Yeah. So I believe if I'm getting it right, I think it's 26886 Lucinda, PA. So yeah, we'll be launching a full store. We will have a retail space. We will also have a lab where we do a lot of our extractions and make our products and package different goods and also a test kitchen. And we're also kicking around doing some food on weekends or having some guest chef events. And yeah, we're going to be doing a book signing with my friend Barbara Botakova. She just released a book, Wild Mushrooms. Maybe I can connect you with her for another podcast episode because she's central to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Espo, you keep those ideas coming. We can't wait to check out the space once it's up and running. And thank you so much for sharing your time and your wisdom with CityCast Pittsburgh.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's been an honor. Appreciate it.
That's all for today here on CityCast Pittsburgh. If you're looking to learn more about foraging, you can check out Espo's work with the Pennsylvania Mushroom Company and the Western Pennsylvania Mushroom Club. Plus, check out our website for a few books that Espo recommended and a bunch of those pictures we talked about throughout today's show. That's pittsburgh.citycast.fm, and you can find all our shows and everything that's in that wonderful Hey Pittsburgh newsletter on that website too. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Talk to you then.
Yeah, you know, I've gotten lost. One time I was in Cook Forest and I got lost and I thought it was going to be the end. And I was like, well, this is satisfying to go this way. You know, I was like,
no.
I was like, well, I guess that what do they say? You know, he died doing what he loved, you know.
How long were you lost? I found,
like a half hour.
You reached the acceptance phase of death?
In the woods, that's like hours. You know, like my phone's dying, no GPS, I don't have water. So, you know, I just hunkered down and I was able to hear a road. So I got flipped around, but I was able to kind of recalibrate and find my way back to my car.
Espo, I think you need to add snacks and a heat blanket to your go bag.
Yeah, snacks. Those would be some great items to bring with you in the woods.